Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Fascinating. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of fascinating discussions along the way. I can't wait to fight with Joe about it and all that stuff. All right. Interesting situation, let's say, with the NFL right now, related to college football. A situation we haven't seen in a while in terms of getting the supplemental draft involved. Now, I'm sure a lot of people have heard about this situation. If you haven't, Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby. Was the player who, if you didn't know exactly who he was the one who was caught gambling on
his own team,
and then many, many other games, like, you know, thousands and thousands of bets. It became an issue, obviously, with the NCAA trying to ban him. Texas Tech defended him. He actually won a court case saying that he could still play. The NCAA,
the mental anguish of him not being able to play.
Unbelievable, right? How could you live like that? NCAA losing their mind, being like, this is the end of us, essentially, if people, you know, can bet on their own games, if it's legal. So it seems like they've come to an agreement, or whatever they've done behind the scenes, to get Brendan Sorsby to enter the supplemental draft for the NFL. So for those who don't know, a supplemental draft doesn't happen every year. In fact, it doesn't happen that often.
I think since 2019.
They had one in 2023. No one got picked.
Okay.
The last time a player has gotten picked in the supplemental draft was 2019. The supplemental draft first held in 1977. It allows teams to bid future draft picks on players. So the last time there was one was 2019, a fifth round pick for Cardinals safety Jalen Thompson. I think probably the most famous of these in the last in the last couple decades or so was the Terrell Pryor situation. Mm-hmm. Ended up being a third round pick that he was used for, and that's why with the whole tattoo and the scandal.
That was ridiculous. What he
insane,
got.
Well, especially in hindsight with this story, right?
Yeah. Who did the Eagles get in the supplemental draft?
It's a while ago, right?
Famous.
It is famous. Oh my goodness. Was it Reggie?
No.
Who was it? Because they got Reggie out of the
USFL.
Yeah.
All he does is catch touchdowns.
Oh, Chris Carter. Yeah. So it is a wild thing because this quarterback, it seems like he's a legit NFL prospect.
I mean, some people think he could have been top 10 this year or next year.
Exactly. So a real prospect. People are theorizing that at least a second round pick will be given
Reggie was 1984. So
I was saying the
last one.
Okay, cool.
But Reggie was a supplemental.
So the Eagles have had some success. There's a way to put it.
Get him.
Right? So this is an interesting spot. Elliot, I want to get Rhea your thoughts on this too, because forgetting reports, I know there have been some people saying the Eagles could be interested. We don't know. But a second or a first is my guess what it will take in the supplemental draft to get this kid, to draft him. And so, for those who don't understand, what it means is you're basically a blind bidding system. Every team that wants to bid will put in their bid for this kid. Whoever highest bid wins, but that team will lose that draft pick in the upcoming draft. So a 2027. Yeah. So if the Eagles say, we'll give up a second, and they are the highest bid, they lose a 2027. It basically becomes their 2027 second round pick. Your thoughts on this whole situation, whether you think the Eagles should or will go in on this kid, what do you think of the kid situation, and ultimately, do you think it'll be a second or a first he goes for?
So I do not think the Eagles will give up a second or a first for Brendan Sorsby. Now, look, I think that with the off-the-field stuff and the gambling, everyone can have their own opinion of it. It is definitely a complicated thing for your quarterback to have dealt with, right?
Like,
there's someone that you have to trust the franchise to. It is something the Eagles will have to look into. Obviously,
Isaiah Rodgers is okay.
Well, Isaiah Rodgers was a cornerback they brought in on a minimum deal.
I'm agreeing with your point.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Isaiah Rodgers, it was like not on his own team, and also like only a couple bets, right? Yeah. If I'm not mistaken.
And was it even on football?
I don't know if it was on football or not, but either way, it definitely wasn't on his team. So this is a very different scenario from that perspective.
Now, here's the wild card in all this, though. If Howie thinks this guy is a top 10 talent, and
then
you can get him
for a second round pick,
I would not do it. I've always been pretty clear with this. I think until you move off from Jalen, you can't bring his replacement in. I just don't think it's a tenable situation. But the value could be there. And if the Eagles, and I think we would all agree, have some reservation about Jalen, they probably don't plan on drafting in the top 10 very often. I mean, has Howie ever drafted? I guess
he's traded up. To
he's
Wentz
traded up,
stuff,
right? But they've never landed that pick.
Yeah, they have the Lane pick, yeah.
So it's been a while. It's been over 10
years. Yes. And I get, well, Jalen Carter, they were at 10 and traded 9, but that was, I guess, a trade from the year before. And stuff. Right. Anyway, so go ahead.
So I do not think they will give up a first or second round pick for him, but I do think that anyone completely ruling it out is just ignoring what Howie does.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. I think at the end of the day, like, I think he'll go for at least a second, and I wouldn't be shocked if he goes for a first mm-hmm. for the reasons you just said. A team at the back who expects to be at the back of the first round, who thinks they're going to have a future quarterback need. Even a team like Pittsburgh or some of these teams who don't have a quarterback now but are like pseudo-contenders. I think there's a lot of interesting angles on this.
Well, just quickly, I'd say the other tough part of this is it's happening in a point of offseason where all the scouts and coaches are out of the building.
They've already made their decisions. They've kind of got their rosters like mostly set.
Yes.
It's fascinating. Rhea, what do you make of this situation, whether you think the Eagles will be in on it?
I'm fascinated by it. I agree with Elliot. I'm thinking, but would they put a third in?
I don't know if you get him for a third, but
how many third round?
So
picks
a key part of this is you can only do your own.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so
it has to be your own pick. So I don't know.
For what it's worth, did take a quarterback in the fifth in this past draft. You know, Cole Payton. I don't think answer, but they did just add a young quarterback.
Would
There's
you
a
throw
lot of factors.
Third? I mean, he's supposed to be uber talented, but he's probably going. What don't you think he'll get suspended for the year?
NFL? I don't know what the NFL will do. I mean, you're violating a different set of rules. I know you can't gamble in the NFL either, but it is in theory. He didn't break any NFL rule.
Well, Terrell Pryor's stuff was college.
You're right. He didn't get a full year. Did he get two games?
Yeah, but the point is it was a lesson of offense.
So the reason I would not, if I'm the Eagles, is you cannot ignore the situation that you're in. And we talked about this earlier. It's always fourth and one in that building. You draft Sorsby. And like Jalen, first of all, Jalen's done in Philly, right? Like that is your guy. If it's a third, a little less, but if you give up a second or a first for this guy,
especially now where there's all this Jalen turmoil and he's they're upset. Yeah, we don't know who's upset with who and all that.
Yeah, I think it could tank the season if they
do
it.
It's a fascinating thing.
I don't think they will, but if they're not high on Jalen, I think if you do it, you have to trade Jalen immediately.
They drafted Jalen when Carson Wentz was there.
And it tanked the season.
This team will do anything.
No, but it tanked the season.
But I understand
for what it's worth.
But then they're like, fine, we'll go back to next year.
Yeah. So I agree with both of you. I think it would tank the season. I agree with Rhea. I think it's definitely possible. I don't think it'll happen. Like, I don't think it'll happen. But I'm with you, Rhea. Like, if it does happen, it's not like I'm going to be shocked.
What was the famous catch? Drama. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, that's the Eagles.
And let's not forget another famous phrase, quarterback factory, right?
Yes,
so, you know,
correct.
They could always say that.
Correct.
All right.
Of course, that's more justifiable to have him off the top 11 or number one. Our next guest had him at number one. We'll get to that. We also have some other stuff to talk about with Elliot, Shore Park.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Of course, ESP. Covering the Eagles for us here at WIP. Elliot, how you doing?
I mean, it's one of the best weeks of the year at the station, so I'm doing great. I love Top 11 Week. Excited to talk about it.
Top 11 Week is
so divisive.
It is very, very fun. All right, let's end with that because we can have a fun back and forth. But let's, Elliot, I'm curious your thoughts on Brendan Sorsby. We brought it up yesterday. Texas Tech quarterback, although he's never actually played there, but the quarterback was supposed to play at Texas Tech. Not going to play college football this year, going to the supplemental draft. Some consider it first-round talent in next year's draft, so he is available now next month to NFL teams to bid on. Your take on him, and then as it pertains to the Eagles and how this might go if they make a bid.
Yeah, so I understand why the question is being asked if the Eagles will use a pick on him in the supplemental draft. I mean, we know about their hesitations with Jalen Hurts, and then also we know Howie likes to be bold. And I think, you know, this is a chance to potentially get a top 10 talent for maybe the value of a second round pick. Or if you are a team like the Eagles where the pick's projected to be, you know, probably in the 20s, you know, you're kind of jumping up 20 spots or 15 spots, however you want to put it, for free, right? So there is a chance to grab a talent here that you might not have a chance at otherwise. But I would be very surprised if the Eagles use a pick on Sorsby. And I think the simple reason is, I don't think you can hand your franchise over to a guy that had issues in college. Like, I think everyone deserves a second chance. I think that, you know, the Eagles should do their research into it. But it is a big risk to take to go from somebody in Jalen Hurts, and I'm sure we'll talk about him, that you can sleep easy at night knowing he is representing the franchise well. He is someone you can trust with, you know, a ton of money and a ton of responsibility, from going to somebody who at the very least seems like he is going to need some time to potentially mature into the role of a franchise quarterback. So I think the value is potentially there. If he was a different position, maybe you would take the chance, but I think that everything that comes with being a franchise quarterback, I don't think the Eagles would take that risk.
So, Elliot, I think you kind of hit on it at the end there. For you, and you're trying to guess how the Eagles might approach this, is it the position and the responsibility? Because it can't just be the infraction. I mean, Elliot, 2 years ago, they brought Isaiah Rodgers in, right, and waited for him to get through an NFL suspension for gambling, and then he was part of a Super Bowl team. So the infraction or the idea of gambling when you're an athlete and breaking that rule, obviously they don't frown that much upon it, right? Because they helped rehabilitate Isaiah Rodgers, and he turned into a really good value for them.
Yeah, so look, I think athletes should be allowed to gamble. So I don't have an issue with the infraction.
I mean, I got to imagine you're a Sorsby guy in that case, after all.
Yeah,
this.
I mean, if Sorsby wants to bet on his team to win, like, I'm cool with that, right? So I don't care about it. But I think to compare Isaiah Rodgers to Brandon Sorsby is just not a comparison. Like, I understand because the infraction is similar, but it's a different position. It's a different level of asset. I mean, they signed Isaiah Rodgers for the league minimum and didn't even have to use a roster spot on him for an entire year. If you were to use a supplemental pick on Sorsby, you're talking about likely at least a second round pick. You basically end the Jalen Hurts era right away. It's completely unfair to Jalen Hurts to do. You can't expect Hurts to be on the roster while Sorsby is here. It would be a complete disaster. So you basically have to trade Jalen if you take this guy. The only way I think there's even a little bit of a chance Eagles would do it is if they draft him with the intention to just basically hold him until a team then offers them more for it. So if you can get him for a second round pick, and maybe you just hold and see what could happen. I mean, like, maybe there's some logic, but to make the same mistake they did again, where they took Jalen when Carson was on the roster, I just don't think they would do it.
Well, I mean, that wasn't a mistake, though, the Hurts pick.
It was obviously a mistake. It worked out well. We all make mistakes that work out well.
It was a great draft pick.
It was a great pick in the way that he became a great player, which, you know, I'll be curious if you agree with that based off your top 11. But I would also say that, like, it ended the Carson era. It tanked a full 2020 season. Like, it was a poor process. We've had this debate. I know we'll never agree. But never. Taking Sorsby would end the Jalen Hurts era, and I think that's not something they're completely ready to do yet.
Yeah, to me, they're different. I think the Sorsby thing would be way more risky than the Hurts thing, obviously, 2020. And was a good draft pick. Just because he's not a top 11 athlete today in 2026 doesn't mean it wasn't a good pick in 2020. All right, Ellie, so let's hit a few stories that have been out there last couple days. Your take on them. While we're talking about Jalen, let's hit on that one. The Joe Sanliquido story, Bleeding Green Nation, about Jalen. Really, this felt like the first one from Jalen's side, and not necessarily him. He wasn't quoted, but people close to him. What did you take away from Joe's latest story, this time about Hurts?
Yeah, so as always, I think a great story by Joe. He does an outstanding job when he, you know, writes these stories. But I would also say my opinion of it would be, of course, Jalen camp feels this way. And as you mentioned, I think it cites, you know, people close to Jalen might be the wording there. But if I was in Jalen's circle, I would feel a lack of support to an extent from the Eagles. Now, look, they have paid him a lot of money. I understand there's that. He's going to be a starting quarterback this year. So he is getting a certain level of support. But Jalen has done a lot for this team. And it feels like multiple times over the past few years, he's had to deal with stories that have come out saying people in the building about frustrations that they have with him, right? He won a Super Bowl, didn't get a new contract. So I completely understand, you know, Jalen's camp feeling a potential like lack of support. And also, I think it's very noteworthy when Jalen got his contract from the team in 2023, he got a no trade clause in there. Like, I think Jalen has probably always felt a level of insecurity about his job status with the team. I think you could really only say that first season after the contract was when he kind of like guaranteed to be a guy. But then even coming off of 23, we all viewed 24 as he has to be better, right? So I think it's completely predictable for Jalen's camp to feel the way they do, according to this story.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the 50. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. I agree. I felt the same way reading it. I understand the insecurity. Or how about the Nick Sirianni story? Mike Silver of The Athletic wrote about Sirianni and kind of a profile of him being himself. That's the way what I read it was like Nick's going to continue to be Nick Sirianni because it's worked for him.
Yeah, and I think there is a level where you respect that, right? Like, I think the same thing with Jalen. Jalen has been the same person to an extent since he's gotten here, right? I think both Nick and Jalen have had people say ways they could maybe, you know, change, and you know, to a degree, like Nick not show his emotions as much. Jalen maybe, you know, be a little more outgoing with his teammates. But the bottom line is they are both two people that are sitting in pressure cooker seats that almost nobody here besides maybe Hugh could relate to, right, in terms of being in that level of spotlight. So when the article, and I thought it was a very good one, talks about how, you know, Nick's at the playground and he kind of jokingly yells at someone for wearing a Carolina Panthers shirt. Like,
call him a bozo.
Calls him a bozo, yeah. That's just who Nick is. And, you know, Jeffrey Lurie is quoted in there as saying basically sometimes it brings the best out of Nick and sometimes it makes less of a coach. And I think that's true. He's an emotional guy, much like Jalen has a personality that I think allows him to be a great quarterback. He is able to internalize everything and block everything out. That's very hard to do. And as a result, part of it is maybe he's not super outgoing. I think Nick is very good at having his team play with an emotional way, like the, you know, physical and all that. But then you also see some downsides of that. So I thought it was a very good story and really did capture the Nick Sirianni that, like, I've come to know since he became head coach.
All right, let's hit one more, and then we'll end with your top 11 list, which had Jalen Hurts at number one. Elliot, a story this morning, Philadelphia Inquirer Jeff McClain about Julian Lurie, Jeff Lurie's son, who we, you know, have known for a while now, is kind of working his way up to one day, probably, you know, take over for Jeff, whenever that day is down the line. But it was the first time, like, it was like a profile, a longer piece about Julian Lurie. What did you take from it? Because it's interesting. He's someone that's here, that we know of him, and he will be a huge part of the discussion in Philadelphia down the line. But we don't really know much about who he is other than Jeff's son.
Yeah, so one of my biggest takeaways from it was he sounds, and look, I've seen Julian Lurie around a lot. He is around way more than he used to be. We don't get a lot of opportunity to speak to him, so I'm not going to pretend to know him. But in the article, it did talk about a bunch of people kind of cited as like, he's kind of more quiet and reserved, but when he talks, it really matters, and he's talking more than he used to. It kind of reminded me of Jalen, because one thing you do hear is that Julian and Jalen have a very good relationship, and you wonder if they can kind of relate to each other in the way that they've – obviously the spotlight's not the same for Julian, but he's always had the pressure on him of knowing he'll be an owner, and Jalen has dealt with a lot of pressure, you know, having been a quarterback his whole life. They're both kind of reserved, maybe not super outgoing, so maybe they relate – in that way. But I think the thing that really hit me in the story was someone within the building is cited as saying, ultimately, if you're an Eagles fan, you should feel good about Julian being the guy that'll take over. And I think that's really where I fall on it. There's a bunch of things in the article we could talk about, but the bottom line is he is working for this job. He's been in this city. He's learning from great people. So I do think ultimately no owner is perfect. There will be growing pains. But I left reading that story feeling like Eagles fans should feel confident about this guy one day taking over.
And I think he's more involved already than people realize. I mean, there was a part of that Elliot, where it talked about how he got to kind of be part of the question and answers with the potential offensive coordinators. Like, it's kind of part of the interview process, which is, Hugh, that sounds to me like he's already part of this thing.
Well, I remember when I first got back, I remember seeing around, and he wanted to know every aspect of everything.
Business and the football.
Yeah, and yeah. I remember, you know, when I was sitting in Bob Lang's office one time and Julian came in and we spoke briefly, and he was trying to learn that aspect of it, the PR side of it. So he's going to be, whenever his time comes, he's definitely going to be a well-rounded individual. Didn't say a whole lot to your point, but he definitely seems like he's going to be a well-rounded individual when it does start for him.
Yeah, no question. All right, Elliot, let's end with your top 11. So you unveiled your top 11 yesterday, and you were obviously part of our voting here, which is 50% of it, fan vote 50%. Jalen Hurts at number one. Elliot, how'd you get there?
Because he's the best athlete in the city. I think it's very simple. It's very, very simple, and we are overthinking this. There is no athlete in the city that matters more than Jalen Hurts. No other athlete gets talked about 24/7. Christopher Sanchez is a great pitcher. He is elite. he does not deal with 1/100th of the pressure that Jalen deals with. And so I think that matters when we're ranking athletes. If you got to be the guy in the hardest sports city in the city that wears the biggest crown and deals with the most pressure and scrutiny and you have his resume, you're the top dog. And people will go, well, you're still bringing up the Super Bowl from 2024, the Super Bowl from 2022. I can rest easy at night knowing that during the Jalen Hurts era, I put him as the top guy because we will not often have quarterbacks in the city with his resume. So I think it is way overthinking it to put him off the top 11. Could he throw over the middle the more? Sure. Did he have an outstanding 2025? No, he didn't. But he is still the top dog by a wide margin.
All right, so I get the logic, but how do you reconcile he didn't play well last season? And it's hard to reconcile. If you want to put him on your list, and I understand having him on the list, and I get the idea, okay, he's got more of a responsibility than most athletes because he's the quarterback of the Eagles. But how can I have a player that didn't play well last year at number one in the whole city, a city right now that has a lot of good players? I mean, I don't know how you felt doing the list, and it is a great week. I felt there was more depth to the potential top 11 this year than any year since the afternoon guys started. I just had more names like I even thought about for the bottom of the list. So it's a pretty good city right now, filled with a lot of good players. And the guy that's on number one on your list and other people's wasn't even good last season.
Well, I think you're wrong to say he wasn't good last season. Well, I mean, his passer rating was 3 points lower than it was in 2022, where we would all agree was probably the best year on the field he's had. He set a career high in touchdowns last year. Pro Football Focus had him ranked as, I think, the ninth best quarterback in the NFL last year. He was second in turnover-worthy plays in terms of having the second fewest. He was close to top 10 in big-time throws. Like, he was the best player on the offense. The offense struggled. I agree. They were not a great offense. He was the best player on the offense. And I think we've gone too far in saying how bad of a season he had. He was not outstanding, but he was the reason, to a certain degree, that offense got anything done at all. So, again, even if he didn't have a great year, you're telling me that's enough to knock off the Super Bowl MVP from the top spot in the city? Like, it's not enough for me.
Well, first of all, the offense didn't get anything done. I mean, they were one of the worst offenses we've seen in years here. They led the league in three and outs, and his numbers – I mean, Hughes tried to do this while he had career high in touchdowns. His numbers were similar to Jacoby Brissett. I mean, he played like the 20th best quarterback in pro football.
Numbers are numbers.
Oh my God!
But
we're not ranking him against Jacoby Brissett. We're ranking him against other athletes in the city. Christopher Sanchez is elite. Christopher Sanchez has been good for what, a year and a half.
Elite.
He's never said it.
Christopher Sanchez is elite. Jalen Hurts wasn't. I mean, that's
because
it.
Jalen's job is way harder, right? That's like saying the busboy should be number one on a ranking because he's a better busboy than the waiter. Like, the waiter does a more important job.
Yeah, but what if the waiter sucks?
The waiter doesn't suck, though. What if the waiter won the championship the year before? No, but you're just wrong.
Passing yards in 10 of 16 of his starts last year.
The waiter he orchestrated the championship.
Last year wasn't the championship.
Didn't screw up the order.
I mean, what are we talking about?
Even with the Eagles having a disappointing season, right, yes, didn't meet expectations, they still were a better team than the Phillies were. They were better than Christopher Sanchez, and they won just as many rounds in the playoffs, right? So they were Christopher Sanchez. We're supposed to all just, like, bow down to him as number one. He's good. He did nothing memorable. Well, I guess he had the streak recently, so I
retract
that.
He just had 50 innings.
I know. I retract it.
All right. All
right. Right? But I'm saying, like, the Phillies are still not close to the Eagles. Even in Jalen's down year, he achieves things that the Phillies achieve in what we all have to agree are, like, good years for the team, right? So, yes, Christopher Sanchez is awesome. He does not have to do anywhere close to what Jalen does. He plays in one out of every five games, right? Like, he's awesome. He's just not Jalen.
Well, he's better. He's been better over the last year. It's not even close. Like, we could just argue in circles here, but he's one of the best players at his position in his sport. Jalen is not even
Is he a top 10 quarterback? He absolutely
Last season he wasn't even close to a top 10 quarterback in the league.
So did you make every single spot on your list based only off the last 365 days? Or do you have Lane Johnson on there?
So I have Lane on.
Lane played on the same offense Jalen did.
Sure.
Lane was hurt, right? So you are acknowledging that this is more than just about the last
year. Justifiable to have him on a list. But number one, to me, the top of the list has to be weighed heavily towards the last year. Otherwise, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, well, why do we have Saquon? Why, why was Saquon number one last year? Because of the year he had. His resume before that was good, but not great. But he had an otherworldly year, and we were like, well, that's the best athlete in the city. That's similar to Christopher Sanchez.
Yes, Saquon Barkley won the Super Bowl and set an NFL record for rushing yards in a season, including the postseason.
Right.
Christopher Sanchez has been great. He has not accomplished anything close to what Saquon accomplished in 2024.
Well, no, I would have had Saquon won last year even if they got knocked out by the Rams. He had 22,000 yards. I mean, he was the best player in the sport.
I mean,
in that season. You
clearly diminished the Super Bowl. Like, I don't know what to say. If you don't want to value the Super Bowl, then that's your prerogative. But at the end of the day,
where are all the other Eagles that won the Super Bowl? Why does Jalen get the credit for the Super Bowl and not the other guys?
Because he's the quarterback. He's the most important player.
Well, but
that's
why. In that sense, all the other guys are getting diminished. They won the Super Bowl, too. Saquon won the Super Bowl. Lane Johnson won the Super Bowl. Quinyon Mitchell won
Saquon
the Super Bowl.
Saquon had a terrible year. I have Quinyon at number three. I have Cooper DeJean at number five.
How did Saquon have a terrible year, but Jalen was top 10? Like, what are we talking about?
What are we doing?
Saquon had a worse year than Jalen
did.
That's not even debatable. Saquon had a bad year.
Was like 22nd in the league. I mean,
did Saquon set a career high in anything? No, right? Did he have a career high at 25
touchdown passes? Do we realize what we're saying out loud? 25 touchdown passes. I'm supposed to throw a party for 25 touchdown passes. Guys, throw 40.
I'm not asking you to throw a party. I'm asking you to respect the fact that this guy carries more weight in the city than anybody else.
We have lowered the bar for quarterback. Here's the problem. Because we like Jalen Hurts, we've lowered the bar for quarterback play. He had a career high at 25. It's like me saying, Trey Turner got a couple hits today. That's worth it. No, he's supposed to be better than this.
Wait, do you hear what you're saying? You're saying we're lowering the bar for quarterback play.
Yes.
When I'm putting a guy that has won the Super Bowl as a quarterback of the Eagles, been there twice in 3 years as the top athlete in the city, and you don't even have him in the top 11, McNabb must be like laughing at this. The fact that McNabb, all he ever did was win in the playoffs, and he didn't win the big game, and that's all he has to hear about.
No,
Jalen does
not
that,
what
and you're.
No, those are team things. This is an individual list, team versus individual.
The quarterback is the team. That's how football works.
Baloney, Elliot.
It's not baloney. We. Why is Mahomes the best quarterback, or why is Tom Brady the best quarterback of all time? Is it because he's like? Obviously, he's great at things, but why he is the best is because he has the most Super Bowls. That Super Bowl where they won 15-3 or whatever it was, that goes on his resume.
But that's not true. When Tom Brady was a game manager in his career, people didn't think he was the best quarterback. Then he became the MVP of the league, started throwing for 50 touchdowns.
Why is he considered the best quarterback now? Well, if you just say one reason why he's considered the best quarterback.
It's not one reason. It's both. But he had longevity, he had numbers, and he won the Super Bowls. It's not just one thing.
No. It's the Super Bowls. You know it's the Super Bowls.
If he had
the same exact career, but only won three Super Bowls, he would not be considered the best quarterback of all time.
He very well might.
Why is Jordan considered better than LeBron? It's because of the rings, right? Like, you can't pick and choose when you decide rings matter. And rings matter. And the fact Jalen can walk into a room.
Michael Jordan was also a dominant player. He didn't just win
so
rings averaging 6 points. Yeah, so is LeBron. Right, but it's both. That's the point, Elliot. They're both dominant players.
Jalen's had a dominant career. In what world is Jalen not? He's on a Hall of Fame trajectory. How can you sit there with a straight face and say okay, he makes the playoffs every year. He wins double-digit games every year. He's won a Super Bowl.
He's the team.
Well, so, okay, Michael Jordan,
that's the part we can't get past. The idea that Jalen Hurts is the team is insanity. It's just, and it's totally disrespectful to the actual. They actually have Hall of Famers that have played with him. Those guys are more of the team than him. Hall of Famers. Lane Johnson's going to the Hall of Fame. Like, that's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Jason Kelsey's a Hall of Famer.
Saquon Barkley, not a Hall of Famer before he got to Philadelphia. A.J. Brown, not a Hall of Famer before he got to Philadelphia.
These guys came here.
Right, but I'm saying these guys got here and had career years with Jalen. Like, you say all these other guys are Hall of Famers. Jalen has a better chance of making the Hall of Fame than almost everyone on the roster besides Lane Johnson. Right? So, like, he is clearly a dominant player.
Elliot, last year they had three and outs at a higher rate than any team in pro football.
Yeah, wasn't great last year. I'm not
what
disputing
that. What was dominant
that. That
about his play last year?
What was dominant about Lane?
Can you give me something good about his play last year?
What was dominant about Lane?
Well, I don't have Lane at number one on my list.
But you have him on your list, right?
Yes, the debate wasn't. I didn't say it's crazy that you have Jalen on your list. It's crazy that he's one. Like, can you give me one thing Jalen was good at last year?
It's crazy to have Lane. Like, why did you put Lane? What was your reasoning for Lane?
My reasoning for Lane is the great career he's had, and I still think Jalen, in the eight games he played, he belongs on the list. Can you give me one thing Jalen was good at last
year? You think Lane, in the eight games he played, was one of the best 11 athletes in the city over the last year?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I think that's crazy. I think he clearly is on your list because of his resume.
People had Embiid on their list for 38 games.
Do you have Embiid on yours?
I didn't, no.
Embiid, in the games he played, averaged like 30 points. He had an awesome playoff year.
He can't move anymore. I mean, he is a complete liability on one side
of basketball.
Okay, but
he's still a lead on offense. Lane missed half the season, right? Sure. So you clearly are weighing resume on this. You're just not doing it for Jalen.
Can you give me one thing Jalen was good at last year at the quarterback position? One thing.
Yeah, I can give you multiple. He took care of the ball. He was elite at that. He was one of the best in the league.
He was not elite at taking care of the ball. Elliot, every quarterback in the league now has
the second fewest turnover-worthy plays in the league. We can use facts or opinion here. The fact is,
every quarterback in pro football averages about 6 or 7 interceptions now a season. That's the league now. If you look at the top 15 or 20 interception percentage guys in history, it's all the current players. It doesn't stand out anymore. If everyone's throwing,
it does stand out because the Eagles win at a high rate when he takes care of the ball. They win at a higher rate than when he takes other teams.
If everybody turns the ball over at a similar percentage and you are less productive, it's like if everyone struck out 50 times in a season, the guys that hit 50 home runs and strike out 50 times, that's the production. If you don't turn the ball over but you don't score points, it doesn't hit the same as it used to.
So I agree the offense was not good last year. I'm not disputing with you on that.
He wasn't good. He didn't throw accurately. He didn't run it well anymore. He didn't run as well anymore. His deep ball accuracy, which used to be excellent, dipped considerably. His completion percentage dipped. His QBR dipped. They scored less points. He didn't play good football.
How valuable is taking care of the ball when you lead the league in three and outs?
It's not. They're all turnovers then.
Well, it's actually extremely valuable because they could have won 12 games last year if they played their starters in the final game. So again, we can just focus on the three and outs, which I agree were not great. Even in a year that we all agree was not great, they would have won 12 games. Like, you talk about the bar we set.
They would
have
won 12 games with Jacoby Brissett playing quarterback.
They would not have won 12 games with Jacoby Brissett.
That was replacement level quarterback play last season. They could have
found the biggest myth we tell ourselves.
25 quarterbacks to lead them to 11 wins last year. Last season, they could have found 25 quarterbacks to do that. The idea that he gets credit for last season is preposterous. He played two good games the whole year.
That you think Jacoby Brissett, a career backup, could step into Jalen's shoes in this city, in this pressure, and handle it? I don't think he could.
How many good games do you think he played last season? Because I wrote down 2 of 16.
Well, that's absurd. I would have to go through and look, but certainly more than 2.
Okay, let me know next time you look. Maybe 3 games he played really well in. I mean, the rest of the time he didn't do anything or he played terribly.
How many good games did Lane have? Like, you can't pick and choose when the resume matters, and that's what you're doing. And that's why it's crazy not to put Jalen. Like, we talk about this dude all day, every day. He has more pressure on than anybody else. And then when
Elliot,
it comes to actually like looking
every
at
quarterback,
no, you know
by
it's
that,
different.
By
you know
that
it's
logic,
different.
By that logic, any Eagles quarterback just makes the list.
Any Eagles quarterback that's won a Super Bowl, yes, then I think he gets the top spot.
Before we finish this, how long does that last? If he's, let's say he's mediocre this year, he's on number one on your list next year because he won the Super Bowl once.
No, I've decided this is the last year he gets that.
Okay, well, at least we end on that note.
There we go.
Well, if Elliot decided it, then
I just think it's foolish not to have him on the top 11.
It's foolish to have him number one. Again, I'd be okay with him on your list. No. Number one, he didn't play well last season. That's just it. Elliot, thank you for hopping on, as always.
Yeah, y'all went at it.
Yeah, fun time. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, there he goes. Elliot's report.
Very late.
This is your fault, by the way.
When y'all was arguing.
You did the Rocky Balboa thing.
No, I'm saying,
because
it tracks. It tracks.
It does.
In that break, I think I'm a moody.
Hugh set the house on fire and then just left.
Yep.
What are you talking about?
You didn't say a peep through that whole thing.
No, because I was looking for a house in Cape Verde. I was looking for a house in Cape Verde.
We're on the air, Hugh.
But I'm saying, they were arguing and it was good. So I started, I'm going to go.
It was so good that you did something else. You weren't even locked in.
I'm thinking about moving to Cape Verde.
You know what?
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love!
I think there is a trade to be made for the Philadelphia Eagles. So if you haven't heard or you haven't seen, Rondo Carpenter, Raiders reporter, said that not only is Max Crosby...
Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, Rajon Rondo. Would you call him Jack?
Mike Honcho?
Mike Honcho. Rondo Carpenter says that not only is Max Crosby available, but two certain NFC teams are in on him. Here's what he had to say.
I am telling you, there is a lot of interest in Max Crosby. Two teams, specifically nuclear hot, the Eagles and the 49ers. I still believe there are two, maybe as many as three other teams absolutely in play for Max. Okay, does that mean that Max is in Spytek's office? I want out? No. Does that mean that Spytek is like, I want him gone? No. But it means the reality is, last year, I told you, I did not believe he was up for trade or even remotely available, and I was right. I was told that. I do believe someone could get Max. Absolutely. I think he could be had, have to be the right team, and it would have to be the right price.
So 49ers in on him and the Eagles in on him. So then, and I said there's a trade to be made. So then Albert Breer, in his Q&A column, was asked about Jalen Carter's extension. And Albert Breer says, yes, they are hesitant to pay Jalen Carter. Philadelphia is telling you what you need to know with its actions. The Eagles have always been aggressive paying their own, in large part because they know the earlier you do the deal, the better price you'll get. It's a strategy that takes commitment from ownership, which Philly clearly has, and has served the team very, very well over the years. The Eagles should just go ahead and trade Jalen Carter for Max Crosby. I am not sure what Jalen Carter could do this year that would make me like reconsider the things that the Eagles are obviously considering in reasons they don't want to pay him. I don't think the reason that the Eagles don't want to pay Jalen Carter is because of what they think Carter could be on the field. To me, it clearly says, and this is the reason they paid Jordan Davis and didn't pay Jalen Carter, is that they have more faith in Jordan Davis, the player or the person that they, and because they have faith in him as a person, they have faith in him as a player. I think that their pause in paying Jalen Carter is because of him as a person and as a worker within the building. I would go ahead and call the Raiders and say, we will give you Jalen Carter for Max Crosby. It takes the decision to pay Jalen Carter off the table. It takes whatever weirdness would be this year with Jalen Carter having not giving him the deal off the table. It takes all those games that you're going to have to play with Drew Rosenhaus off the table. And you just take the money that you would have given to Jalen Carter for the next five. I'd rather pay Max Crosby for the next 2 years than pay Jalen Carter for the next 5 years. Because remember, the commitment that you're going to have to make to Jalen Carter is going to have to be a long-term one. Max Crosby has 2 years left on his deal. And also, Max Crosby, I know he was injured last year, but has largely played like every snap the Raiders.
He's a beast.
He is a great player. He is good within the building. And aside from the end of last year, has been a guy that plays every single snap. Have Jordan Davis and Moro Ojomo be your defensive tackles. Have Jonathan Greenard and Max Crosby be your start, and Jalix Hunt, like a three-man rotation that would be absolutely positively dominant. Go ahead, trade Jalen Carter for Max Crosby. That is my idea.
Listen, I love the idea of trading for Max Crosby. I'm okay with that. You're adding more talent to that side of the football. You give yourself a dominant front four or five, depending on how deep you go there. Yeah, Max Crosby is a relentless pass rusher that would certainly upgrade this defense. We wouldn't have had a pass rusher the likes of a Max Crosby since, I don't know, Trent Cole maybe, like Hugh Douglas. I don't know when's the last time we had somebody of Max Crosby's sort of level of play.
No, I mean, Elliott has said a while they don't usually invest a lot from a dollar standpoint.
And we haven't drafted one.
And we haven't drafted one.
Yeah, we haven't drafted one.
Reddick had the 1 year, but he's not Max Crosby.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, Reddick had the 1 year. So let's, yeah, move on from Reddick.
Yeah.
it was just pointing out.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You threw my whole train of thought off now. Max Crosby, here's what I would do there. Not Jalen Carter. I want to see Max Crosby play with Jalen Carter. That's what I want to see. I want to see Max Crosby, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Jonathan Grenard. That's a four right there. Then my backups, I got Jalix Hunt. Or listen, you want to trade Nolan Smith to the Raiders for Max Crosby. Nolan Smith, here's what I'd do, Spike. I'd go Nolan Smith in a first-round pick.
You know why?
I'd give him the 28th. The pick they just got for AJ, I'd give him the 28th, the first-round pick in 28, and Nolan Smith.
You know why I'm not trading first-round picks? Because we keep talking about, look, you're paying these guys. You have Quinyon Mitchell on the horizon to pay him. You have Cooper DeJean on the horizon to pay him.
Yeah.
One of the guys you just mentioned, Jalix Hunt, you have on the horizon to pay them. And while I would love to have Jalen Carter,
Jalix Hunt is not getting the deal. I mean, they just signed Jonathan Grenard, and you want to bring in Max Crosby. Like, Jalix Hunt is not going to get a mega deal.
Well, the truth is, though, I can't imagine a world where they're paying Jalen Carter and paying Max Crosby. It seems like an either-or thing to me. I don't want – if they have pause, it says a lot to me that the Eagles have not paid Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
It just says a lot. What Albert Breer wrote is correct. They pay guys early. They don't pay guys late. And the fact that we were talking about this guy is potentially one of the best players on defense in the entire NFL, and they have pause on extending him – I don't want to have to make that decision anymore. I'd rather hold on to my picks, keep my cost control players, not have to make the decision on Jalen Carter, and have a high impact edge right here or there. And I do think they have a couple of defensive tackles. Look, neither of them are Jalen Carter, but Ojemo has been a really good player.
Yeah.
Jordan,
you don't overpay him?
No, I don't want to overpay him either, but it seems like they're able to draft and develop those guys.
I mean, he's going to walk, though.
Well, then he'll walk, and then we'll have Ty Robinson.
Yeah. Yeah, you like that?
Better than Milton Williams,
yeah,
some say.
You like that? I'm going to use some of your logic
in
this argument that you've used about making players earn it and how it's worked out.
That is mine, yep.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Jalen Carter, I know he wants a deal. Everybody wants that financial security early. I'm okay with the Eagles making him wait. Making him prove it, keeping that carrot in front of him, something to chase. If there are some question marks there, then he has time to erase those question marks. He can mature. He can change his behavior patterns. You know, players get older, they get smarter, they start doing things a little differently. And once was a young, reckless young player who did some immature things, now becomes the wise old veteran. And smarter because he's gone through those things. They had questions about Jordan Davis. They waited. Jordan Davis showed them he could keep his weight off and play at a high level. They rewarded him. They didn't play Jalen Hurts early. They waited until after Jalen's final year of his deal. Didn't franchise tag him, none of that stuff. They paid him. He showed them that he could do it. So Jalen Carter, if he has to wait another year, so be it. He has to wait another year. But I'm not giving up on the idea of the talent of Jalen Carter because the ceiling is so high for this guy that if you give up on this guy, plus you're talking about a 25-year-old. What is Jalen Carter, 25, 26 years old, 25? Max Crosby, I love him. He's 30 years old. And I'm not giving away a 25-year-old potential franchise centerpiece when I got a chance to keep him when he's under contract. So if I can use other resources to get Max Crosby – I'll use that. I'll use the other resources. Jalen Carter has the potential to be a pillar in your defense that you build around. Those guys are hard to find.
Max will be 29, by the way, start of next year.
Okay.
Yeah. How old is Jalen Carter?
He's 25.
Okay. 215. We have been aging Max Crosby every time we talk about
him. He's almost 30. Well,
yeah, he's 28.
He's basically 35.
Yeah.
His knees might be 30.
Yes.
33.
215-592-9494. Would you trade Jalen Carter for Max Crosby? Here, here is the danger in the prove it year for Jalen Carter. If you said, would you rather pay him now or make him earn it? I would, of course, make him earn it.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that, like, I would rather be a year early. The Eagles have always wanted to be a year early rather than a year late on paying the guys. In this case, I'd rather be a year early rather than a year late in getting value for him. Because the problem is like, what is your confidence that he goes out there and he earns it? Because if he doesn't, then
a motivated Jalen Carter.
Well, but then he, as a or an annoyed Jalen Carter, or a Jalen Carter whose agent tells him,
but he still wants to get
field.
Paid, though. He still wants to get paid. You got to play and perform to get paid.
You do, but I don't like. I guess my thing is, if he doesn't go out and prove it, then the asset of Jalen Carter is not worth nearly as much as it's worth.
It's still big next year. 26-year-old Jalen Carter.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. 215-592-9494. Would you trade Jalen Carter for Max Crosby?
You've been listening to the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.